The story of Korach speaks, in a certain sense, to all of us. For one man's refusal to cherish his Levitic identity bears enormous lessons to the way in which we regard our own heritage as Jews. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, Episode 70, Korach and the Beauty of Buxer. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
A recent email from Mosaic juxtaposed two articles about buxer, the Yiddish term for carob, which has been traditionally eaten by many Ashkenazic Jews on Tu B'Shvat. The first article was published in Tablet several days ago, and it is a celebration of all things culinarily carob. The article by Paula Gavin, titled The Beauty of Buxer, tells us that, quote, carob has many uses in the kitchen. It can be made into molasses or syrup, a powder or chips that resemble chocolate chips. If you want to eat the pods, ideally, they should be boiled in water for 10 to 20 minutes, then left to soak for an hour or two. This should make them sufficiently soft so you can slit them open and remove the seeds. They are now ready to eat or be used as a sweetener. Carob molasses can be used to make delicious drinks, liqueurs, fruit compotes, puddings, and ice cream, as well as all kinds of cakes, cookies, and no-bake treats. The dried roasted pods may be ground into a powder that can be used as a substitute for cocoa. And we are further informed that, quote, carob could even be useful in helping you lose weight, end quote. The author, in other words, is pro-carob. Then there was the other article cited by Mosaic, which was one I wrote some years ago. And suffice it to say, my own attitude toward the taste of dried carob or buxer was less positive. As I pointed out in the piece, even as the Tanakh celebrates the seven species of Israelite agriculture, wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates, there is nary a mention of charuv, carob, as a source of celebration. And moreover, confirming this culinary intuition, the Talmud describes carob several times as ma'achal behema, food that is fit for animals rather than human consumption. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, in this very same piece, I came not to bury buxer, but to give it praise. As I mentioned in a previous episode this week, Tu B'Shvat was originally a mere tithing technicality, the end of the fiscal year for fruit, defining the end point of an agricultural crop and the beginning of another when it came to the various obligations pertaining to fruit trees. Several hundred years ago, however, it became much more, a day of celebrating the sanctity of the fruits of the Holy Land, whose special status is reflected in the application of a variety of mitzvot. And for Ashkenazic Jews living far away from Eretz Yisrael, the one piece of produce that grew in its sacred soil that would last the long journey to the pale of persecution was buxer. I cited in the article, as well as in my Tikva Sacred Time series on Tu B'Shvat, Rabbi Beryl Wein, who, like me, grew up in another frozen Arctic tundra akin to Eastern Europe, Chicago, Illinois. Remembering his own Tu B'Shvat celebrations, he wrote, "The buxer was hard as a rock and tasteless as wood. Yet I noticed that my parents, Jews of an earlier generation who were born before there was a state of Israel, or a time when free and open worship was really allowed at the Western Wall, without Arab or government interference, ate their pieces of buxer slowly and with great affection. Only later in my life did I realize that eating that piece of buxer validated their hope and belief that the land of Israel would yet flourish and grow under Jewish sovereignty, and that the vineyards and orchards of the land promised to us by our prophets would become abundant reality." It is with this in mind, I suggested, that we can discover something to celebrate about the carob, even if its taste is not an experience we are about to embrace. According to the Talmud, the carob tree has some of the longest roots of Middle Eastern botanical specimens, and the eating of buxer in lands so far away from Eretz Yisrael reflected the rootedness that spanned great distances, the ultimate link of love. Tu B'Shvat became a day for remembering our roots, cherishing them, and appreciating how they impact our identity. It's with this in mind that in our Tu B'Shvat-themed week of 10-Minute Mitzvah, we can approach our commandment for the day. One of the laws impacted by the Tu B'Shvat deadline is that known as Trumat Maaser, or what is described in the Torah itself as Maaser Min HaMaaser, the tithe from the tithe. Whereas the original 10% tithing obligation, Maaser Rishon, the first tithe, discussed in a previous episode this week, is gifted to the Levites. The Levites are themselves instructed to take a tithe of their own from the tithes they have received, and to give that as a gift to the Kohanim. This is Numbers 18, verse 26. Ve'el ha-Leviyim tedaber v'yemar ta'alehem, ki tikchu me'et b'nei Yisrael atamaser asher natati lechem, me'itam b'nachlatchem, v'arimotchem mimenu trumat Hashem, ma'aser min ha-ma'aser. Or in the Sepharia translation, speak to the Levites and say to them, when you receive from the Israelites their tithes, which I have assigned to you as your share, you shall set aside from them one-tenth of the tithe as a gift to Hashem. As other Israelites remember the Levites are called to consider the Kohanim and tithe on their behalf. It is noteworthy where precisely in the Torah this obligation appears. Immediately after the rebellion of Korach, an elite Levite who sought to be high priest, unhappy with the sacred role relegated to him and his family, he sought the spotlight and demagogically demanded more than the privileged role he already had. One of my favorite comedic quotes comes from Lily Tomlin, who once wryly reflected, "I always wanted to be somebody. I realize now I should have been more specific." God at times has specific destinies for us, and they are linked to our heritage. Korach was less interested in Levitical duties than being somebody, and thus immediately after the failure of his rebellion, immediately after Moses' cutting critique to the mob Korach assembles, "Rav lachem b'nei Levi, you seek too much, O sons of Levi." The Levites are asked to tithe on the Kohen's behalf. They will receive honor, but then honor to the Kohanim must be given. Korach the Levite rejected his roots, and the Levites are asked to honor theirs. The story of Korach speaks, in a certain sense, to all of us, for one man's refusal to cherish his Levitic identity bears enormous lessons to the way in which we regard our own heritage as Jews. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks begins his book A Letter in the Scroll by describing how he once suggested to a group of British Jewish students that they write to a series of famous Jews in England, asking them how they see their own Jewish heritage. They were disappointed. These celebrities responded with correspondence that, to a great extent, approached their identity as a burden rather than a privilege. This, in turn, led Rabbi Sacks to write this book, a celebration of the incredible story of the Jewish people, a paean to the privilege that it is to be a part of it. Moses' criticism to Korach and to any Levites that may be considering joining his rebellion can actually be a statement of inspiration to all Jews. Hama'at mikem ki hivdil Elokei Yisrael etchem. Is it a small thing for you that the God of Israel has separated you for a sacred service, for a sacred role? On Tu B'Shvat, we remember our roots, how much they meant to our ancestors, and therefore how much our identity should impact us. That is what we do when we eat the carob, the long-rooted tree that connected Jews across miles, across generations, across space and time. I'm grateful to Paolo Gavin for celebrating the Buxer, though I remain unconvinced about its culinary qualities, and I can't help noticing that many of the suggestions in the article relate to carob as a substitute for chocolate. And chocolate, while not a Tu B'Shvat celebration specimen, is definitely one of my favorite fruits. Be that as it may, De gustibus non disputatum est, or as we say in Hebrew, al tam vareach ein lehitvakeach. There is ultimately no arguing when it comes to taste. And what is quite clear is what we have stressed as a theme throughout 10-Minute Mitzvah. Judaism asks of us to express our individuality within the context of our larger identity, and that to be a Jew is to recognize our roots, which link us to a land and to a history and to a calling. And strongly held, diverging views about the Buxer notwithstanding, on this we can surely agree. This is Meir Soloveitchik, wishing you a joyous and meaningful Tu B'Shvat, signing off.